So sorry. Yeah, can you tell me a bit about the division of work between? Tell me a bit about how Nana felt about education for her daughters versus her sons.
My mother believed in educating everyone in the family, so there was no real differentiation between the girls and the boys. My two older sisters went to a convent in Longford, which necessitated them cycling for 5 miles and then getting a bus from there, which was another 12 miles, I believe. So that was what happened from the time that they were early teenagers, from 13 years until they were 18 years or thereabouts. And both of my sisters finished their secondary education there. The two younger sisters then went to secondary education in Meath, after we had moved. And so my mother didn't differentiate between the boys and the girls in terms of education or opportunity. The boys went to secondary school, and with the exception of the successor to the farm, they all finished their second level education. My brother, who inherited the farm, only spent 3 years in secondary education, while the remainder of us spent 5 years. And all of the brothers after that then went on to further education, mm-hmm. which gave opportunities for them all to be successful in whatever their chosen field of activity was.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Can you tell me about someone who had a big influence on your life, and what were some of the most important lessons that you learned from that person? So any kind of inspirational person that you can think of.
Well, my elder brother Fergus was an inspiration in terms of my working life, because certainly in the earlier years he gave me some advice. And following that, then there were a couple of other people who were very important. I worked in a dairy cooperative for a number of years, and the boss in that employment was quite inspirational and innovative, and I've always admired what he tried to do and what he was successful with in most cases.
Okay, very good. So he was kind of an inspiration as far as your work life was concerned.
Yes.
And can you think of anyone like in your personal life who made an impact?
My wife. Mm-hmm. She was my advisor and inspiration and support, and we would have discussed most things from the time I met her in 1976 until today. Mm-hmm. And although we don't agree on everything, we can agree to disagree.
Very good. So you've been married how long?
We're in our 42nd year, I think. Mm-hmm. We were married in 1978. Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the 7th of June. I remember the date.
Very good. Okay, can you describe one of your happiest moments? I know it's tough to narrow it down to one, so if you can speak about more than one if you'd like.
Well, I think there were 5 happy moments. There were, because we had 5 children, that were very important. And then that was at family level, and at business level, there were a few things that were important in terms of our progress in business, and after setting up the business in 1987-88, we won a number of awards for innovation and for being successful. So yeah, those are the things that inspired me to keep going doing what I was doing.
Mm-hmm. So kind of going off of that, like your happiest moments, can you tell me about some of your proudest moments and why, and how do they differ from happiest?
My proudest moments revolve around the family and, you know, Deirdre, our daughter, been, you know, having our first child, and then our second child having another child, and so on. Those are very proud moments for me, because they revolve around family, and put a lot of feeling into and work into having or to advising and helping my family. My siblings, my children and my siblings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, I think probably like when you look at your five children now, they're all grown and they're all kind of successful in whatever field they've chosen, or semi-successful, but like they're all happy. So I think that in itself is an accomplishment.
I think that if they're well adjusted and happy and successful in what they're doing, well then, our parents should be proud of that.
Mm-hmm. And when you say successful in what they're doing, what does success mean in that way for you?
Well, there are two parts to it, that they're first of all happy in what they're doing, and that what they're doing is giving them and generating enough of an income to sustain them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For your great-great-grandchildren listening to this in years to come, is there any wisdom that you'd like to pass on to them?
I think the lessons I've learned over the years is that you will have successes and you will have failures in everything that you do, and it's a case of dealing with the failures and learning from the failures and the mistakes that you make, and go on as long. And I think the most important single element is if you're healthy. As long as one remains healthy in body and mind, nothing is impossible. So for me, health is your wealth, and I don't believe in people having excuses once they're healthy.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell me a bit about if you could give advice to your great grandchildren about picking a partner in life, what kind of advice would you give them?
That's always a very delicate subject. I would probably choose to be remove myself from that idea, because you know, you can advise people, they don't necessarily take your advice, but you have to be happy in their company. And no two people are going to be alike, so you have to be able to adjust because certainly in marriage or any a partnership, you have to be able to adjust and accommodate some of the things that maybe you don't agree with or feel are difficult to deal with, but there has to be a level of adjustment on both sides. And as I said earlier, be happy in each other's company and share everything.
When you say share everything, do you mean like thoughts, feelings, emotions, or like physical things?
Oh, well, both. I think there's I would say that nobody expresses absolutely everything, but most feelings, I'd say, need to be shared.
Mm-hmm. And so when you've been with someone for over 42 years, and you've seen, you know, people in your life, other couples you know who have had marital issues and ended up separating or divorcing, what do you think is one of your kind of key things that you've done with mum to sustain a marriage for so long? Apart from, you, like you said,
being
enjoying each other's company.
Being open and enjoying each other's company. Being open, you know. Like, it's not that we haven't had disagreements and we haven't had arguments and all the rest, but it's a case of, you know, what are the important things? And being able to differentiate between the important things and the unimportant things. Because there will be issues that, you know, yeah, things that you forget to tell a partner, things that you don't feel are that important and the partner feels they are important. There will always be those sort of things in a marriage or in a partnership, but differentiating between what's important and what's really important,
mm-hmm.
I think is crucial. And being able to say, sorry, I didn't think it was important, and if I had known it was that important to you, I would have told you. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so what I'm hearing is kind of like honesty, communication, admitting when perhaps you've made a mistake, and showing genuine remorse or empathy if feelings have been hurt.
Yeah, I think one has to be able to empathize and apologize and empathize, because we're all capable of hurting each other.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, in any circumstance, one can make a decision to hurt a person or apologize and accept that you can make mistakes and make wrong decisions and make wrong calls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have to. That's the way it is, mm-hmm. in life. Nobody's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A question about raising kids. So when your children were, let's say, teenagers or even early 20s, and they were making some decisions in life that were potentially maybe not the best decisions, I feel like you often kind of gave advice, a little bit of advice, but kind of took a back seat and let them make their own decisions / their own mistakes. Would you like a couple of examples of what I'm talking about, or you might have a whole bunch of them in your head?
I think that children in their teens, you know, feel they know better than their parents, and they go through that cycle. And if you're very strong in your advice, or over strong in your advice, the chances are you're going to have resentment or a resistance, or for the children to do the opposite of what you're advising. So it's better not be too prescriptive, in my view.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I would like to know what you're referring to, because I'm sure.
Well, like, I'll use myself as an example. When I dropped out of Trinity College after my first year and took a year off just to work and to figure out what I wanted to do. Like, I had no direction. I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
And yourself and mum could have insisted that, no, you need to finish college. You need to go back. You know, you can't just quit. But you were very kind of supportive and said, you know what, if it wasn't the right college for you, if that wasn't the right course, take your time off, earn some money, support yourself. And then if you want to go back to college, you can do that. But I know a lot of parents would have been really insistent on, like, no, you don't have a choice in this, you're going back to college.
I think if a person isn't happy doing what they're doing, then they're better off not doing it. So whether that's in college or whether that's in business or in employment. So all that happens, I think, in those cases where you're too insistent is that you build up hostility, and it comes back to haunt you in the long term. I think, you know, we've had the situation with some of our children that they started courses and they didn't finish them, but they found their way, you know, given time and opportunity and support, they found their way in what they wanted to do. So I think it proves that they will find their way as long as there's a level of guidance, but not too much direction.
Mm-hmm.
Too directive.
Yeah, I think that yourself and mum had kind of good perspective. Like, this decision is not the end of the world. This decision is not going to dictate what happens to our child for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Each kind of decision about college and things like this is a stepping stone in life. It's not the be all and end all. So yeah, it's not necessarily, it might be a determining factor, but it may not be a negatively critical one. So
yeah, mm-hmm. There are lessons to be learned no matter what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you just have to look at some of the most successful people in business, they are not in roles that they ever went through education to achieve. So education is only a stepping stone. Mm-hmm. Along the road in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have recently become, I want to say, semi-retired or retired. Can you tell me, what has that transition been like for you after working for decades?
So far, it has not been so bad. There are things that I felt I probably didn't push strong enough while I was in the role I was in to get things done. But there are not too many things that I would have changed. Going from where I was a year ago to where I am now, it has been, parts of it have been difficult because I didn't expect that it was going to be as quicker transition as was enforced on me. And some of what has happened with the organization I don't agree with, and I think that the organization will be a lesser organization as a result, and a lot of people will be hurt within the organization, or a lot of people will, if they're not hurt, they will be certainly They may be there in body, but they may not be there in soul or in mind. The passion and soul will be, or has been, taken out of the company.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that will annoy me and frustrate me, because it's not something I would have ever wanted to see happen.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, on a personal note for your retirement, how does it just feel? Like, you, for so many years, there was like a purpose every day to get up and to, you know, go to work and meetings and schedules and all that kind of stuff.
You know, it's great that I have the time and health to be able to do what I'm doing at the moment. And
so what are you doing at the moment?
Well, I'm just spent 3 weeks babysitting a grandchild. But in terms of being able to help my children, I have more time and the good health to be able to do it. And I also am able to dedicate time to one of what was very much a hobby before, but will become more serious, as farming.
Mm-hmm. And speak a bit more about farming. So it was a hobby. In what way was it a hobby, and how is it going to be more serious now?
Well, it was a hobby in that we have land, which we acquired, and I didn't actually farm the land myself, in that I had rented portion of it to my neighbour, and I had allowed my nephew to graze cattle on it for the last number of years. Now I've purchased cattle for the first time in a number of years, and you know, we'll look after the cattle, and hopefully we'll can build a small herd over the next 5 to 10 years.
Mm.
And I haven't decided which breed of animal I'm going to focus on, but I will decide probably by the end of this year which breed of cattle I would like to have, and then I will focus all my energy in making sure that we have the best of it, best cattle then.
Mm-hmm. And so that sounds like it's going to take up quite a lot of your time. And you also mentioned helping your children and, you know, taking care of grandkids at different times. What else are you planning to do with all this extra spare time since retiring?
I will dedicate more time to the GAA club that my two sons played with in the past, and helped them draw up a longer term strategy and acquire land and playing pitches for the future generations of the club.
So that's a sports club in our town.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so these are kind of like, the farming sounds like it's kind of like a mini business for yourself. The sports club is like volunteer work to keep you busy.
Volunteer work, yeah. Mm-hmm. It'll be purely volunteer work.
Mm-hmm.
But it can take quite a bit of time, because we will draw up a 5-year strategy and a 25-year strategy.
Oh, wow.
And think about how our local area is going to develop, and what will be the requirements, the sporting and recreational requirements for that area of the town.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're quite passionate about this, the volunteer work, and can you tell me about some volunteer work that you've done in the past?
I was involved with an organization, a local organization in the town that had a daycare facility for adults with learning disabilities. I was director of that organization for about 10 years. In that time, we changed it, the focus of it from being effectively an adult creche to being more focused on employing or having people reach their maximum ability through employment and through sporting and recreation. And in that, we were, I would say, moderately to very successful in that we had athletes from the organization, first of all, able to go to college and get degrees, and secondly, participate in the Olympics for people with disabilities.
That's an amazing accomplishment to be part of that organization for so long. How did you get involved? Because I believe that a lot of people who work there or volunteer there did so because they had family members who had learning difficulties and things like that. So what brought you into that role?
Well, that is that was an interesting involvement because the organization had a creche local to us, to where we had our business in Navan, and when I was passing by on a daily basis, I never bothered too much about what went on. And one day when I was passing by, people were carrying placards outside on strike. So I made inquiries as to what was happening or why, and then I became interested in what was going on in the organization, and I decided to take a more active role in the effort and strategy of the company. And that's the reason why, the reason why I became involved. Mm-hmm. So I made inquiries, found out what was happening, tried to get the resolution, and from there on in, then I was in various committees, and then I became chairman, and then after, I think, about 10 years, I handed over that role to a successor.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing to think that you were running your own company, you were married, raising 5 kids, and you still took the time to kind of give back to the community in that way. How did you manage to do all of that?
Because I had a wife at home that was able to deal with nearly all the issues that the 5 children needed dealing with. Because that's the way it was. You know, you make time for the things that you think are important. But and it actually didn't take that much time. It just took focus and direction and advice and getting a team of people together that have like-minded, or at least having the same, creating a set of goals and getting people involved that wanted to achieve those goals. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's about building teams of people to get things done.
Mm-hmm. Well, it certainly sounds like you've accomplished a lot in your 68 years. Just talking about it now with me and thinking back, bringing up all these things that you've done and accomplished, and we never even got into like all the international travel and all that kind of stuff that you were involved in, but just thinking back, how does it make you feel?
I think there's a lot to be done. And lucky enough, I'm healthy to be able to do them.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to get involved in some other business and play an active role in another business, because I don't feel that I'm 68, I don't feel that I'm 58. Maybe when I get out of bed in the morning and put my feet on the ground and my ankles are stiff, maybe it's beginning to show on me, but in my head, I don't feel that I am not able to do things.
Mm-hmm.
So, I hope that another 10 plus years of excitement in business and in travel and in family and all the rest for me,
mm-hmm.
at least.
Very good. Okay, I think that's it for us. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No. Well, yes, there is. I would like to add that I am very proud of my daughter, Dara, who's undertaking this course and degree, a master's degree in San Francisco. And knowing Dara, as I do, she will be successful because she's a fantastic girl.
Okay, I think that's it. So, Dad, thank you very much for participating and for your very open and honest discussion and feedback. I really appreciate it. And that's it. Okay, thank you. Are you finished recording? I will not be able to resume this interview. Yeah.